Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? I hope you are fine. I hope today is better for you listeners. With me, Mat Faisal, I would like to accompany you 1 hour ahead for today's edition on 20th February 2019. Listeners, we have some segments that we can share to you, such as programs of commentary, news, information, entertainment, and Indonesian pop songs. And listeners, we begin our program with news. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Trade cooperation between Indonesia and Korea targets $30 billion. Indonesian ambassador to Egypt ensures there are no Indonesian citizens become bombs victim in Cairo. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tunu Kita and South Korea Trade Minister Hyun Chung Kim met in Jakarta on February 19 to discuss the way to enhance trade and economy relation between the two countries. During the meeting, the two ministers agreed to reactivate Indonesia-Korea Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IKCPA. When met during the Indonesia and Korea Business Forum in Shangri-La Hotel, Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Enggar Tias Tunu mentioned that the initiation is targeted to reach $30 billion.
Relaunch kesepakatan ini juga dilanjutkan dengan Business Forum.
Relaunch of the agreement is also continued with Business Forum, which bring together Indonesian and Korean entrepreneurs. Therefore, the target set by the two heads of states worth $30 billion in the next 3 years can be achieved. We agreed that the agreement will be signed in November at the meeting of the two heads of states, meaning that it must substantially be completed before November.
Agar perjanjian ini diharapkan ditandatangani pada bulan November yang akan datang, pada waktu pertemuan kedua kepala negara. Jadi artinya substantially harus selesai sebelum November.
Minister Enggar Tias Tunu added that this negotiation aims to reach both countries' bilateral economy target that is expected will increase bilateral trade and investment relations to the highest level. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Helmi Fauji ensured that there are no Indonesian citizens who were victims of the suicide bombings that rocked Cairo, Egypt on Monday evening. That was said by Ambassador Helmi as released by the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo on Tuesday. A suicide bombing took place in Gamaleya district, Dawab Al Ahmar, Cairo on February 18 at 2200 hours local time. The incident was located behind the Al-Azhar Mosque, Gamaleya district, Dawab Al Ahmar, Cairo. The security forces identified the suicide bomber as Al-Hashan Abdullah, 37, and caused 3 deaths and 5 others injured. 3 of the victims were from the police, where 2 of them were officers who ambushed the perpetrators before finally the perpetrators withdrew the button of the homemade bomb. While 5 injured victims consisted of 2 police officers and 3 civilians, including a student from Thailand. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that fiscal incentives in the form of tax cuts to industries that undertake vocational education and training activities, as well as for building research and development centers in Indonesia, are targeted to be completed in March 2019. Minister Sri Mulyani stated in a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday. The former managing director of the World Bank remarked that the formulation for the super deductible tax has been completed and is about to be finalized. Furthermore, the minister said that the Ministry of Finance is cooperating with relevant ministries and institutions, and if the harmonization process runs quickly, then these incentives will be launched in the near future. Indonesian Finance Ministry will look into the possibility of revising a policy it had implemented last September that increased import tax on 1,147 consumer goods products after concerns were raised that it hampered the supply chain for exports. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said the policy was intended to control excessive imports, which were blamed for the country's ballooning trade deficit to $8.57 billion in 2018. According to Edward Otto Kantar from Indonesia's Priority Line Association, the higher import tax has had an adverse effect on the competitiveness of certain Indonesian products being exported to a number of countries. The policy particularly affected industrial players operating in the bonded zones and those who have to import materials for export-oriented goods. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government is ready to spend $1.1 billion on oil and gas exploration to address a rising deficit of oil and gas, which is expected to begin in 2015 and reach its peak in 2050. Vice Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Archandra Tahar, stated in Jakarta on Tuesday that the exploration fund derived from work capital commitment from contracts under a gross split scheme is far higher than the previous exploration fund, which reached $5 million. The fund was so small that many areas have not been explored. Besides the exploration fund, the government also plans to improve the use of data for seismic purposes. Meanwhile, Chief of Alumni of the Bandung Institute of Technology, Geological Technique School, Shamsu Alam, revealed that the percentage of oil and gas needs, particularly oil, will not decline significantly in 2050 and will stand at 2 to 3 million barrels per day. The Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education is set to issue rules regarding academic integrity, the moral code or ethical policy of academia. In the near future, the rules will be issued in the form of ministerial regulations concerning academic integrity, the Ministry's Director General of Research and Development Strengthening, Muhammad Dimyati, said at the Science and Technology Index Shinta Talk in Semarang, Central Java on Thursday. He explained that a number of academics were dismissed or had their scholarships and research funds stopped as their integrity was problematic. Dimyati added, it would be understandable if the problem was caused by a lack of knowledge. However, it would be intolerable if it was done intentionally. This forum serves as an arena for self-introspection for the Science and Technology Index. The Indonesian government will open an office to boost investment from Singapore, although Indonesian offices with the same purpose have already existed in the neighboring country. Working Group 4 Economic Development Acceleration Task Force Deputy Head Purbaya Yudi Sadewa in Jakarta said that Singapore contributed most investment to Indonesia in 2018, namely $9.19 billion, or 34.4% of all foreign investment. Purbaya said many Singaporean companies and representatives of international corporations in the country had shown interest in investing in Indonesia. However, they failed to invest because of various issues, including business licensing procedures. However, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Deputy Chairwoman Sinta Wijaya Kamdani expressed doubt that the planned Singapore office would have resolved problems with investment realization. Well, listener, that was the news.
Civil war in Yemen. Efforts to end the civil war in Yemen continue to be carried out with the help of outsiders. The United Nations has been trying hard to be the mediator of the two rival parties. In the midst of uncertain situations, on Sunday, the United Nations had sent Martin Griffiths to Yemen to find a solution. From the Houthis came the statement that the UN envoy had met their leader Abdul Malik al-Houthi. Their talk was around efforts to implement the ceasefire agreement set last December in Sweden. At that time, the Yemeni government and the Houthi rebels agreed to stop the war. Both parties tried to build trust and stop fighting in Houda. They were also committed to conducting prisoner exchanges. Even so, some attacks still occurred. The main port city of Yemen, Hodeidah, was affected by the unrealized ceasefire and is now in a gripping situation. Non-compliance with the ceasefire agreement resulted in the future of Yemen becoming increasingly unclear. Civil war in a poor country that has been going on for the last 3 years has increasingly made the Yemeni people live in uncertainty. The war that began due to the resistance of the Shiite Houthis has continued until now. They have kept on increasing their strength against the Sunni government of President Abdul Rabu Mansur Hadi. Although the UN as the international body has intervened, the crisis in Yemen is still uncertain because, in fact, peace in Yemen can only be resolved by parties inside the country itself. The willingness to make peace and live side by side as a compatriots without having to depend on foreign parties is the key to end the war, which has been proven to only cause loss and misery. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Let's start today in history by reflecting on a historical event. IGGI held its first meeting on February 20, 1967. The Intergovernmental Group on Indonesia, IGGI, is an international consortium which was initiated by the United States of America to coordinate the provision of multilateral funding to Indonesia. Members of the IGGI include the Asian Development Bank, the World Bank, Australia, Belgium, the United Kingdom, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, New Zealand, Switzerland, and the United States. IGGI held its first meeting in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Indonesia was represented by Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX. From 1967 to 1974, IGGI held two meetings annually. However, since 1975, the meeting was only held once each year due to the improvement of Indonesia's economy. The first contribution of the IGGI was establishing the program of Indonesia's five-year development plan. We continue to reflect to an incident which occurred on February 20, 1979. Poisonous gas in Dieng area killed 149 people. The tragedy happened because of the volcanic activity of Sinila crater located among Batur, Sumberjo, Pekasira, and Kopucukan villages at Batur sub-district, Banjarnegara, Central Java. Based on the report of the Center for Volcanology and Geological Hazard Mitigation, CVGHM, phreatic eruption occurred at the Sinala crater, and the eruption was followed by poisonous gas, which took place on the northwest of Mount Dieng. The Sinala crater exploded at 5:04 Western Indonesia time after an earthquake. The last historical event is about the National Workers' Day on February 20. The establishment of February 20 as the National Workers' Day is in accordance to the Presidential Decree No. 9, year 1991, about the National Workers' Day, which was signed by President Suharto on 20th of February 1973. Federation of Laborers from various companies declared the establishment of Indonesian Labor Union. The establishment of the Indonesian Labor Union aims to strengthen the solidarity of workers across the country. That was Today in History.
Jumpa dan kau menyapa, indah parasmu hangatkan suasana. Buatku tak percaya mimpi indahku jadi nyata. Saat sendiri jalani hari, bayang-bayangmu selalu menghampiri. Apa maunya hati ini? Namun tiba-tiba kau ada yang punya hati ini terluka. Sungguh ku kecewa. Ingin ku berkata, kasih maaf bila aku jatuh cinta. Maaf bila saja ku suka saat kau ada yang punya. Haruskah ku pendam rasa ini saja, ataukah ku teruskan saja hingga kau meninggalkannya. Kita bersama. Namun tiba-tiba kau ada yang punya hati ini terluka. Sungguh ku kecewa. Ingin ku berkata, kasih maaf bila aku jatuh cinta. Maaf bila saja ku suka saat kau ada yang punya. Haruskah ku pendam rasa ini saja, ataukah ku teruskan saja hingga kau meninggalkannya dan kita bersama. Akankah ada kesempatan? Yang selama ini ada.
Kasih maaf bila aku jatuh cinta. Maaf bila saja ku suka
saat kau ada yang punya. Oh, haruskah ku pendam rasa ini saja, ataukah ku teruskan saja hingga kau meninggalkannya dan kita bersama. Kasih maaf bila aku jatuh cinta. Maaf bila saja ku suka saat kau. Oh.
kepadanya dan kita bersama.
Listeners, you have already just listened music from Heavy with title Orang Ketiga. I hope that you are enjoy listening that music. And listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, I would like to give you next information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia entitled Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Appreciates BPOM Support for Crystal Salt Export. The Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs appreciates the support of the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency, or BPOM, for the export of crystal salt, so that the innovation of crystal salt can be exported abroad and distributed easily. On last Wednesday, February 13th, BPOM issued a letter which can facilitate the issuance of export certificate for edible or table salt products. In addition to issuing the letter, BPOM also provided export consultation desk. Therefore, Indonesia salt products do not have to get marketing authorization in accordance with the Indonesia's regulation, but the products must comply with the regulations of the importing countries. Food standards like iodine fortification is not necessary as long as the importing countries do not require it. Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs hopes, through the issuance of the certificate by BPOM, salt farmers and salt producers will not face difficulty in registering their products, receiving market authorization, and exporting their salt products abroad. It was said by Deputy of Natural Resources and Services at the Coordinating Maritime Affairs Ministry, Agung Kuswanono, in his press release received in Jakarta on Sunday, February 17th. Agus Kuswanono appreciates the support for all the innovative processed salt products in a bid to improve the prosperity of Indonesia's salt farmers, because the marketing of local salt products has always been hampered due to iodine fortification standard as stated in the Presidential Decree No. 6/1994 on the procurement of iodine salt. With this regulation, local salt products which do not undergo iodine fortification cannot be distributed as edible salt or known as table salt. The table salt can actually be processed into crystal salt. The table salt can also be blended with spices such as onion and pepper to become spiced salt. Even it can also be processed into spar salt. The crystal salt is highly demanded by many countries and exported to be used as a seasoning for gourmet or fine cuisines which need pure salt without fortification. Meanwhile, spice salt has become a favorite product in domestic market, particularly for food community. Agung Kuswanono also said this innovation can provide additional value which can support the economy of salt farmers and producers. Through the support of the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency, or BPOM, the crystal salt, which has been processed, for example, to be spiced salt, can be registered to BPOM with other food label. It also applies for other kinds of processed crystal salt products, which can support the nutrient requirements for people with disorders, for example, people who have autism. Meanwhile, non-edible salt products, for example, spa salt, must be registered as a cosmetic product. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Matamu melemahkanku saat pertama kali kulihatmu. Dan jujur, ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Matamu melemahkanku Saat pertama kali ku lihatmu, dan jujur ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Oh mungkin inikah cinta pandangan yang pertama, karena apa yang ku rasa ini tak biasa. Jika benar ini cinta, mulai dari mana? Oh dari mana? Dari matamu, matamu kulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari masa ku buatku jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. Dari matamu, matamu ku mulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari masa ku buatku jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. Matamu melemahkanku saat pertama kali ku lihatmu. Dan jujur ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Oh mungkin inikah cinta pandangan yang pertama, karena apa yang ku rasa ini tak biasa. Jika benar ini cinta, mulai dari mana? Oh dari mana? Dari matamu, matamu cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari masa kau buatku jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. Dari matamu, matamu ku mulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari masa kau buatku jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. Kau buatku jatuh, jatuh terus dari jatuh mata, ke hati. Jatuh cinta, ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari mata, kau buatku jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati.
Dari matamu,
jatuh cinta. Buatku jatuh, jatuh terus. Dari mata kau buatku jatuh, jatuh ke hati.
That's the song entitled Dari Mata, sung by Jazz. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, we would like to present next segment about Indonesian wonder. This is related to Indonesian tourism and also local wisdom. Have nice listening.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you Bungin Island. The beauty of Indonesian nature becomes the benchmark for domestic and foreign tourists to explore it. Indonesia has a lot of small islands that are still unknown by tourists. One of them is Bungin Island in Sumbawa Regency. The island is located at 70 kilometers to the west of Sumbawa Besar District. Bungin Island can be accessed by speedboat. Village of Bungin Island is mentioned as the most populous in the world. This small island is occupied by Bajo tribe, and that comes from South Sulawesi. There is almost no empty land on the island. every year, the island continues to get wider because there is reclamation to accommodate the newly married family. Averagely, there are 100 new houses every year on this island. The island, which is 8.5 hectares wide, is occupied by around 3,400 people. Most of the Bungin people are descendants of Bajo tribe South Sulawesi. They are well known as sea nomads and skillful divers. Since baby, Bungin children have been introduced to maritime through Toya ceremony. In Toya ceremony, a baby is seated on seven women's thigh alternately by swinging. The swing is alluded as sea to be faced by the children when he or she grows up and becomes a sailor. The origin of Bajo tribe to occupy the island is when the first settlement was pioneered by Palema Mayu, a son of six children of King Selayar at the 19th century. According to folk story, Palema Mayu came to Sumbawa before Mount Tambora erupted in 1812. At the time, Bungin Island was a white sand which was still empty and only overgrown by mangroves. Although the island is relatively small, there are two pyres at the west and south of the island. Alas, Bungin as crossover is quite crowded. 8 Johnson boats cross Bungin Island since morning until night. Because of its uniqueness, Bungin Island becomes one of the tourist objects of Sumbawa Regency. Listener, that was our segment today, Indonesian Wonder. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau tuk setiap jam untuk bahagia kena dirimu.
Ku rindukan matamu, senyummu, detak jantungmu. Don't want to let you go.
Listeners, that was song from GAC with title Cinta. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, we would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happens in Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Fasilitas Hotel or Hotel Facility Part 2. Next is a conversation about Fasilitas Hotel, or in English, Hotel Facility. Tony is at the hotel. After bathing, Tony wants to dry his hair, but does not find a hair dryer. Then Tony contacting room service.
Selamat malam dengan housekeeping, ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Malam, saya butuh pengering rambut, boleh saya pinjam?
Pengering rambut ada di laci lemari, Pak.
Oh, baik. Saya lihat dulu ya. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Saya perlu pengering rambut. Saya perlu pengering rambut. In English, I need hair dryer. Boleh saya pinjam pengering rambut? Boleh saya pinjam pengering rambut? In English, can I borrow hair dryer? Laci. Laci, drawer. Laci, lemari. Laci, lemari. In English, cupboard drawer. Pengering rambut. Pengering rambut. Hair dryer. Saya lihat dulu. Saya lihat dulu. Let me see. Listener, to convey something you need, you can use the word perlu or butuh. Tony, saya perlu pengering rambut. Saya butuh pengering rambut. Or in English, I need hair dryer. Tony, saya perlu handuk baru. Or in English, I need a new towel. Saya butuh sisir. Or in English, I need a comb. In the context, the word perlu and butuh has the same meaning. Well, listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Selamat malam dengan housekeeping, ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Malam, saya butuh pengering rambut, boleh saya pinjam?
Pengering rambut ada di laci lemari, Pak.
Oh, baik. Saya lihat dulu ya. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition has been helpful to those who want to know about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Betapa indah ku berada di sisimu. Saat cinta harus pergi, mematahkan sumpah janjiku, merangkul cintaku. Semua indah tentangmu menyisakan kegetiran di detak nafasku, memasung di jiwa. Kepergianku bukan berarti untuk mengingkari cinta. Mestinya kau tahu pilihan jalanku. Meninggalkanmu sungguh terasa berat di umur hidupku. Pasti ku kan kembali untukmu.
Listeners, you have just listened music from Ivan Saba with title Kembali Untukmu. Yes, Kembali Untukmu. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, I would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI, Voice of Indonesia in Music Corner. Listener of Voice of Indonesia, today I present a song from West Java titled Bulan di Cangkuang by Reni. The song Bulan di Cangkuang is a very romantic song. The lyric narrates about willingness to search back fondness memory when a couple lovers were together in Cangkuang Lake. It was a moonlight covered with cloud became a testimony for the couple lover. However, nowadays, moonlight doesn't describe a beautiful story for them who have currently been separated. Cangkuang is a lake located in Leles Sub-District, Garut Regency. Besides being surrounded with trees, the lake has historical nuance with the existence of a temple located in the middle of Cangkuang Lake. Well, listener, here is the song Bulan di Cangkuang by Reni. Happy listening!
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. Now we would like to end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention and time to listen to our program. And we will give you another interesting information. Stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voice Indonesia, and email voi@voinews.id.